The guy's lacing up my glove, and he looks at me, and he said, you ever done this before? And I said, want a box? And he said, yeah. And I said, no. No, I said, yeah, this will be my first time. And he said, well, you need to stay away from that guy, because he's going to hurt you. And
stay away from that guy.
I said, dude, I said, we'll see how this is going to go. I said, you may want to go have that same conversation with him.
Do you know who I am? Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Hating Outbound Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Brian.
I'm the square grouper guy.
I'm Evan.
All right, we're back up here in Center Alabama on one of the finest lake homes that I've ever seen. One of those that you look at and you go, I wonder what that guy did for a living. But you'll remember these guys from the back in March, the Chitterling Cookout, our most successful video to date. And so we thought we're going to see if there's something to the success, if it's these guys or if it was the tractor tire.
One of the two is going to prove prominent, though.
So we're going to tell you more about them, but we want to get to the storytelling. They've been trying to tell a story since we got here, and we won't let them. So we've got to cut these dogs loose. But Evan, you know, you didn't make the Chitterling Cookout.
That's right.
So I think it's only fair that you get to tell the first story today. So why don't you take off and okay. Tell your story?
Yeah, so I guess first off, me and Shane were called roommates going back almost 20 years ago, and that's kind of how we all met, I guess. It's been a long time, man. So I'm going to go back. I guess I came to UAB in 2004, and that's when we met there, fall around 04, so that's 20 years ago. And Skyler had went to high school. He was 3 years behind me, and hadn't really talked to him much after I graduated. So in the fall of 2005, Skyler comes to UAB, and he's walked on as a quarterback, and I hadn't seen him in a few years. So I get word of it, and I'm going down there to watch him practice when I'm not working or going to school. And just to put in perspective of you know, the quarterbacks there at UAB at the time that he was practicing with. So Pat Sullivan's his quarterback coach.
Yeah.
And you got Skyler? Darryl Hackney.
Darryl Hackney and
Sam Hunt.
Sam Hunt,
the music artist.
He's probably the most famous guy in the whole room other than Pat Sullivan. He's a big country music singer now. I mean, everybody knows the name Sam Hunt. And then you had another guy.
Joe Webb, who played at the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
He was right behind Joe Webb.
And me and Joe came in at the same time. And Joe played for the Broncos in the Super Bowl. So there's a ton of talent in the room. And, you know, it was just a pretty cool experience, especially growing up as an Auburn fan. My dad went to Auburn and graduated. And, you know, I don't know what I thought we were going to do when we started watching film. You know, I'm a 17, 18-year-old kid from Center Alabama, and we start watching Auburn and Tennessee in the SEC championship game because we're playing Tennessee in the first game of the year at Neyland Stadium. So me being the low man on the totem pole, I'm just trying to get on the bus. And I know what story he's fixing to tell because this is his favorite story to tell ever.
So it's like
– Skyler just wants to get on the bus.
Like I'm trying – like I can read the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
I know I'm not going to get to play quarterback against Tennessee at Neyland Stadium, but I'm trying anything I can do to get on to get on the bus. So at practice, got to be a little more aggressive than everybody else. And I was always the try hard guy, never was the best athlete, but I was going to be in shape and I was going to be aggressive. I was going to know my alignment, my assignment, and I was going to do my job. But you know, sometimes, you know, it being a gladiator sport, you know, you can get some fights going. So
take it from here.
All right, so what it is, so I go to practice and see him, and I think it's a Wednesday night, and I believe I hear it on the radio. There's this place called Bell Bottoms, and they have a fight night, and it pays $300 if you win. It's every Wednesday night. And I'm like, man, Skyler would be perfect for that. He's never backed down from a fight. and to put it in perspective, $300, like I'm renting an apartment there. It's $350 a month. And I'm working part-time. I'm making $180 a week. So it's taking me 2 weeks to make my rent. So $300 is a lot of money 20 years ago to a college kid. I mean, we would even get excited when his granny sent cinnamon rolls home and say, hey, granny's got cinnamon rolls. You want to come over to the apartment and eat? Yeah, we'll be there in a minute. So we pick him up. We go to practice. And I say, Skyler, we've got to go tonight. We make $300. He's like, yeah, I'll do it. So we walk in.
Okay. But also, let's not forget that Scott, when he said he's not afraid to back down from a fight, he's also very confident in what he's able to do.
That's right.
And fighting is one of those things that Scott Ray said, I can do that.
You know, and when he told me, you know, we're doing it for money, my first thought was, well, I'm not even old enough to get in.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is bell bottoms. I'm 18, but you got to be 21 to get in. And, so, you know, I'd never even been in a bar. And my dad is a Southern Baptist from Northeast Alabama, and he's no gray area. You're right or you're wrong. And I knew I'm not supposed to be in this place.
Yeah.
But there's $300 on my mind. Yeah. And I mean, you know, hey, what's the chances of him asking me, have I been in a fight in a bar that I'm not old enough to get in for money? He'll never ask that question. So we'll just keep it a little secret.
Won't ever come up.
So I go in, I say, look, I'll sign you. It's $10 entry fee. I said, I got it. I'll go in, I'll sign you up.
I got it. Big spender.
This is going to pay back.
So I'm like his agent walking in, write his name down. He's going to fight. So we're just kind of sitting around chilling, and we hadn't seen who he's going to fight yet. So there's four people signed up that night. And the first fight, we never get to see who he's with until the first fight comes out. And these two guys, I was like, man, he's got them. These guys are husky. They're husky. They're winded. So they get up there, and you've got a helmet, and you've got boxing gloves. So it's really boxing. It's not fighting. Yeah. So they get up there, and they're just slugging it out, you know, 20 seconds into it, and they're just gassed. And they fight, and they fight. And finally, one guy just gives up.
So you're feeling pretty confident.
I'm feeling pretty good.
It's $300.
Yeah, like, and as I mentioned, you know, I'm on the football team at UAB, so I'm working out and running and everything. And I thought, man, and see, you had to – kind of figure out who was going to do it. And this guy's sitting over here, and none of these guys wanted to fight this guy. And, you know, he's sitting over here, and he's a big guy, but like, he's not that big. Like, he's a little taller than me, and I mean, I'm 6'1", but I mean, this guy's not like Rocky Balboa or Mike Tyson or somebody. I mean, it's some random dude, you know, sitting over there kind of, you know, had a hood on, and I'm thinking, why don't y'all want to fight this guy? I mean, you got to fight it. If you're going to win the money, you got to fight him. So anyway, I said, I'll fight him. So these guys fighting, waiting on my turn.
So yeah, so when I first see who he's going to fight, I see this guy in the distance. He looks tall, but he's skinny. I'm like, he's got glasses on. I'm like, that's Steve Urkel over there. Like, we got this guy. I'm like, we, you know, like I'm in it.
Are you pumping him up?
Oh, I'm pumping him up big.
Mark Henry, the world's strongest man, the Olympic power lifter, and the you know, WWE superstar, he's like the guest referee to this deal. And I'm thinking, you know, this is cool, man. Yeah. I mean, I'm there's girls like that I, you know, you see on campus, mm-hmm. and you're not really, you're not familiar with them. You don't know their name, but you know
they're there.
They're there. Yeah. And I'm fixing to put on for my city right here.
Yeah, for my city. Finna rap a little bit.
I've got to know, Evan, are you getting a cut of this? Are you splitting the winnings?
He's thinking he's going to get a cut. It, no man. Doubt.
Well, I've already got it spent. Like, we're going to spend the money.
And we're fixing to eat. Like, I mean, me and Evan are like, we're taking change out of the ashtray. We're adding it up. We're going to McDonald's eating off the dollar menu, or going to Crystal or whatever, and we're eating off the dollar menu, and we're splitting a drink. I mean, that's how broke we are. So anyway.
So when I first see this guy, you know, like I say, I think he's like Steve Urkel. So when it finally comes time for the fight, Skyler's, he's got his gloves on his helmet. He goes around this way. Well, my man comes in, and he's got a robe on. Well, he takes this robe off, and it looks like you carved him out with a stone. I'm with a chisel.
This guy looked like a Bowflex model. Like, and I'm thinking, you know, he's got these baggy clothes on, and I'm thinking, you know, and he's got these glasses on, and you know, of course, he's got an entourage with him and everything, and I'm thinking.
And he's got his wrist taped, is what I knew. When you come in with your wrist taped, you're serious. He's got Everlast boxing shoes.
Shoes.
This ain't his first rodeo. So, but again.
And I knew we're in trouble at this point.
You know, at 18 years old, you're 10 feet tall and bulletproof. Not to mention, I had, you know, guys on the football team there. Guys from my hometown was there. And, you know. There's a lot of ladies. So again, you know, I'm not fixing to be a chump. So the guy's lacing up my glove, and he looks at me and he said, you ever done this before? And I said, what, box? And he said, yeah. And I said, no. I said, Yeah, this will be my first time. And he said, well, you need to stay away from that guy because he's going to hurt you. And
stay away from that guy.
I said, dude, I said, we'll see how this is going to go. I said, you may want to go have that same conversation with him.
Do you know who I am?
And I'm looking at him, and as Evan mentioned, you know, he's got all this proper gear on. His hands are taped. I mean, he's got his, like, I mean, it looks like he's coming out for HBO Fight Night. So anyway, I'm thinking, well, obviously he's boxed before. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm using all the common sense methods to help me gain
deductive reasoning from Skyler Ray.
Like, I'm trying to get some kind of edge here. And I'm thinking, well, what do I have that he doesn't? Because he's boxed before. He's obviously a better boxer. He's obviously quicker. He's taller. His arms are longer. You know, I don't really understand what I can do here. So I'm grasping at straws, and this is like, seems like it's taking 5 minutes, but it's probably like 5 seconds. And I'm thinking, I'll tell you what we'll do. Instead of fighting in the whole ring, we're going to do it right over there in that corner. So anyway,
we're going to the corner.
Oh, we're doing it right over there. Like, forget the whole ring. We're fist fighting a phone booth. You know, I mean, if you want to do it,
get him close.
Yeah, I went completely against the advice I just got from the guy that was putting my gloves on.
He said stay away.
He said stay away, and I said nah.
So anyway, so what happens, Evan?
So all right, the bell goes off, and Skyler does what he says. He gets him in that corner, and he gets him around, and I think he's really trying to get him in a headlock. Because if he gets him in that headlock, he's done. So Skyler turns him around, and he's got him good. And the ref goes like, no, this ain't fighting. This is boxing.
So my strategy goes away.
In the corner.
Nobody explained the rules to me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking, we're in a physical altercation. Like we're in a bar, and you hear about it your whole life, and I've never been in a bar. I mean, I wasn't even old enough to be in this one. So I'm thinking, we're going to get in a bar fight. And you've seen the movie Roadhouse. I'm Patrick Swayze tonight, guys.
You're Patrick Swayze.
I'm Patrick Swayze. So anyway, he breaks us up. So now I'm thinking, well, what am I going to do now? I'm sizing a guy up. So I just run right at him again. Ding! You know, we go, and I go running in. Shane, the guy's right-handed. So I knew he'd probably swing with an overhand right. So I come in and I just duck, and he hits me in the ear, and it felt like he had cut it off, and it made me so mad. Like, it made me so mad. And I hit him with both forearms and just push him up in the ropes. So I hit him, like, in my mind, I'm the man. It's going perfect. And I'm hitting him in the gut, and I'm hitting him in the gut, and I'm hitting him in the gut. And I'm like, boom, 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 boom. Just working it. And I was like, this is working. And it's like Rodney Carrington says in his stand-up, I may be a bad guy. Like, I may be a tough guy and not even know it. You know, here I am. They think, and I'm telling myself this, like, they're thinking this guy's tough, and I'm over here beating the brakes off this guy.
Yeah.
And in my mind, like,
you got the hand up now.
I've got this under control. Yeah. I'm bigger. I'm stronger. Like, well, I'm not bigger, but
never seen Skyler.
No, Ray. I'm from West Pine Grove, Alabama. Yeah. So anyway, like, all this is going through my head, and I'm like, and I'm running these theories by my, and then, oh God, my ears hurt. I'm hitting. Oh, my ears hurt. Like, I can't get my ear out of my head. And then all of a sudden, like, boom. I mean, I hit him in the stomach, and I hit him with a left, like, kind of on his hands.
Maybe,
you know,
opened up a little bit.
And then I'm ready to close the shop doors, boys. I mean, I'm ready to go. And I draw it back from right field foul pole, and I get it over the top. And when I get it about right there, he hits me with a shovel. Boom. And when he does, my nose
exploded.
And I'm telling you, I swear, I mean, I've been in a fight growing up, you know, in a small town, you know. I mean, that's kind of what you do with your buddies and people you don't like, and people you don't know, and people you know. I mean, it was a different time back then. So it wasn't the first time
that
I'd been hitting the nose, but it was the first time I'd been hitting the nose with a brick. Like, I thought, whoa, that ain't fair. And I realized that I had not been doing good.
Yeah.
I had not been winning. I had been making him very ill.
Yeah.
Like, he was very ill-tempered when he hit me in the nose, and he hit me square on the tip of the nose. I mean, my beak just busted. And now I can't see. And I thought, my first instinct is, oh God. Oh God, get away, get away. And that guy was right. I gotta get away from this guy. And there was no getting away. There was no running. It was like there were nine of them. And if you put your hands up, he hits you with your hands first and then his hands. So it's like boom, 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 boom. There's four shots every time he stuck you. So I'm like, oh my God, this is terrible. And now I'm running through my head thinking, my buddies are here. All those girls are here. My teammates are here.
Yeah,
Mark
watching.
Henry's here. I can't do that. Look, and I'm telling you, the beating persisted. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't consider myself like a fighter. But I'm not like a pushover either. This guy beat me savagely. Like, there was nothing I could do. There's nowhere to run. The room's not big enough. Forget the ring. Like, I leave feeling completely and utterly depleted.
Just destroyed.
Like, just destroyed.
At what point in time did you give up, Evan?
From the beginning.
He was done.
When he took his coat off. It's a robe. When he took his robe off.
It was like Clark Kent walks in the room.
Superman.
But Superman gets in the ring, and I'm thinking, I've got this. And then, again, it just progressively got worse through the night. And that, like, you had always heard the expression from your coaches, for every bear hunter, there's a bear catcher.
Yeah.
He's the guy that made the trap.
He said he's far superior
on this athletic competition.
So how did it end? I mean,
it ended with, I'll tell you how it ended. It ended with Evan driving me home.
No, I'm talking about the fight.
Did you make it three rounds?
Look, he beat the brakes off me
in one round.
And, like,
there was so much.
His eyes were watering
and his nose is bleeding. And they wouldn't call it because of the blood.
Like, once it got out of hand,
they called it.
They just called it.
It would be like a whole bunch to none. Forget very little. Like, if it was you're a baseball player, you play college baseball, so I'll put it in terms you can understand.
I wish you would.
It was like run rule in the first inning. Like, it was like, and again, I left feeling completely depleted in my buddy's truck, like with my face mangled. So now, like, my eyebrows are busted open. I've got a big, like, scar in the top of my head. My head's busted open. My chin's busted open. My lips are busted. And I need, like, medical attention. And then I realize, you can't call Rick Ray. Like, Ricky Ray's not going to understand. I'm in a bar that I'm not old enough to be in. Yeah. And I'm in an organized prize fight for money, and I need the insurance card for stitches. Like, so there's no medical attention that's going to be had. So I go home and I get my ibuprofen and an ice pack, and I'm just sitting there like, what happened? And I wake up the next morning, and my face is stuck to the pillow. So when I wake up, the pillow just kind of wakes up or kind of raises up with me. And man, I felt completely depleted. And I think Evan and Brian and you know, some of my buddies around here, you know, they got a big hoorah because they didn't get their face broke.
Yeah.
But some of my buddies from UAB that was on the football team were over, and we were sitting around in my dad's house. We've been fishing, you know, and it was that summer, and we were up, you know, just doing what kids do in the summertime later on. And I'd taken quite a bit of a razzing about this story for a while. And, you know, we're all just watching TV one night, and the news comes on. My dad was a huge sports fan, and you know, he was going to watch the news every night. So we're sitting in the living room, and you know, we've been hanging out all day, and nobody's really paying attention to the news. And the Summer Olympics was going on, and tell them
who. So you see the guy that you fought. So it turns out that guy that fought, he wins every Wednesday night. I didn't know that. We go back to college talking about it at class. Oh, yeah, he wins every night, Wednesday night. You don't need to go up there and fight. They got a guy winning. Turns out TV comes on. It's Deontay Wilder.
Yeah.
Heavyweight champion of the world.
Yeah, I'm thinking I got like just ran through the mud by some random dude.
U.S. Olympian boxer, like, Deontay Wilder.
I'm like, hold on just a second, guys.
I went one round.
Nearly.
I got questions. Hold on. What year was this?
This was in the fall of 2005.
Yeah, fall of 2005.
Okay.
The same guy.
You think it's the same guy's fault? I did the same mistake myself. I went down there and fought.
At Bell Bottoms?
At Bell Bottoms.
Well, I have no questions for you because I know exactly how it ended for you too.
Well, I don't know if it was Deontay Wilder. I don't know. I don't feel like I need to tell the story right now, but it was very, very, I mean, like I'm kind of having flashbacks as you were talking about. Very
deja
similar.
Vu.
Were you down there? Did you come?
No, my brother was. I mean, though.
Well, I can tell you this, for the people of the listening audience, if you want to know what it feels like to be hit in the face by what we're calling, what we believe to be Deontay Wilder, or, you know, Clark Kent, Superman, yeah. like we've stated earlier, whoever this guy may be, like I am of the conscious decision, you know, and so is my buddies, that's the guy that broke my face.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
Philip, you had some similar fighting story that you wanted to... You said Scott Ray had to tell. Didn't you hear?
Oh, yeah. Let's stay in the fighting realm because your reputation precedes you. Mm-hmm. I was up at my brother-in-law's house, and a young guy, he's younger than me, your age. He was talking about this, your story, and you've been on the show, and he said, I want to tell you a Skylar Ray story. And so he proceeds to tell this story about you back in college, and there was a very prominent freshman lineman who was highly accoladed that maybe said something to you, did something to you one night that you didn't like, speaking of getting in a lot of fights. Why don't you share that story with him?
Well, so after my freshman year at UAB, my dad's liver cancer flares up again, and he had been in remission. And UAB was just not for me as far as classwork. And I was never a great student, but I transferred from UAB, and I love the football team there. I love the coaches. They were good to me. It's a great program. But, you know, the outside of football, it just wasn't for me. And with my dad being sick, I decided, hey, I'm going to transfer back to Jacksonville State, and I'm going to finish playing at Jacksonville and go to school there. And it was, you know, from what I was used to and my personality, Jacksonville just kind of fit better. And, excuse me, but I met several guys right off the bat. And you know, we just kind of clicked and became friends. And Ben Atchison was was one of the upperclassmen that kind of took me under his wing, and you know, we became buddies. And Shea Allen and Ty Griswold and Ty Hunt, and you know, there were several guys that, you know, we became close instantly. And we had a house, and you know, some of the guys that were you know, staying in the dorm, they would come over, and I'll never forget it. It was Louisville and Louisville and Rutgers was playing Petrino's first stint at Louisville. And it was an ESPN game, and everybody was they were both undefeated, and you know, everybody was going to come to the house, and we'd been playing it for, you know, a week or so. When they played, we were going to have a, you know, get together, and we were going to grill out and, you know, just hang out and watch a football game. So we're at practice, and these two guys are like real close, and like they're big buddies, but one of them's a defensive lineman, one of them's an offensive lineman. And for whatever reason, they decided they would sneak some alcohol in their dorm, and they partake in some alcoholic beverages, and the offensive lineman put the defensive lineman in the shower. And, you know, because he had thrown up on himself. And then the offensive lineman thought it'd be a good idea to pee on him.
Oh.
So that's all fun and games until the defensive lineman, who is a grown man, by the way. Like, he's a big guy. Like, he's not, you know, somebody that you really want to mess with. And anyway, he finds out about it. Well, now that, you know, they're going to fight at practice. But if you get in a fight at practice and, you know, it's about some drama, they, you know, they don't really – you know, there's going to be some calisthenics involved. Mm-hmm. But if you get in a fight in my front yard, you know, we can have a good time with it.
Yeah, no calisthenics.
So, you know, no calisthenics other than just a little fisticuff. So anyway, that's kind of what's coming down the pipe. Well, they get out there, and they're just yelling and screaming in the front yard. Well, the ball game's about to come on. Well, they're screaming and yelling, and you know the neighbors. You know, we're living in a neighborhood, but it's a college town. But still, you don't really want the cops there if you're going to be fist fighting in the yard. And anyway, they're just yelling back and forth, and me, you know.
Wanting to watch the ball game.
Yeah, I mean, I want the ball game. Yeah. I mean, that's what we're here for, to eat a hamburger and watch the ball game. Well, they want to fight? We'll just go out in the yard and fight. Well, I just tell them, I said, look, if y'all ain't going to fight, quit screaming and yelling, come in here and watch the game. Well, the offensive lineman looks right at me and says, you shut up or I'll pee on you. Me? I ain't done nothing to either one of them. I said, me?
And you're the quarterback.
Yeah, I'm.
So quarterback versus offensive lineman. That's what I'm just trying to set that up.
Yeah. This guy was,
you know, literally the strongest guy on the team the first day he walks into campus. I mean, he was just huge. And, I mean, he's put all the pressure on me. So, you know, I just hold that. And, I just give it to him. You know, I just start handing all my stuff to my buddy. Hold this. And anyway, I'm standing up on like a little stoop on the front porch, you know, and he's out in the yard. I said, well, let's get with it. So he takes his shirt off, and he's got on a black polo, like 3-button polo shirt. Mm-hmm. And when he pulls it over his head, I come off the top step and I hit this guy as hard as anybody's ever been hit. Like Deontay Wilder hit me. Boom. And when I hit him, he ate it. Like,
didn't flinch.
Phase him at all. And I'm thinking, round two is fixing to happen. And I mean, he ate it. Yeah. Now he's bleeding. He's kind of staggering back, but it didn't knock him down. I mean, as soon as that shirt came over his head, I hit him and it was like you just thumped him. I'm like, oh my God. Shane, I'm telling you, I was so nervous. So anyway,
now I'm nervous.
Like, but we didn't have gloves on.
Yeah, no gloves. This is straight fight.
This is the fight you wanted to do in the ball.
Now I'm Patrick Swayze. So he starts running at me, and when he does, he grabs me. And when he does, I just grab him by the hair, and I'm hammer fisting him as hard, just as many times as I can. And I knew if you get on the ground, you're dead. If you get on the ground, you're dead. That's why I'm trying to stand up, and I feel my feet come off the ground.
Oh, no.
And I just quit. I let go and immediately just get him in a headlock. And his head, his neck's about this big, and I got it in a hole about that big right here. And he, again, neither one of us got a shirt on, and it's in the fall of the year. There's leaves, there's acorns, there's sticks, there's the sidewalk, and then out into the street. Like, we're out into the street, and I've got him in a headlock just as hard as I can squeeze. And I'm like, golly, mom, this guy runs off Duracell or something. Like, he can't have that much air left. And my back feels like it's running up a cheese grater. Like, I'm not letting go. I mean, if my vertebrae pop out of my back, I'm not letting go. So finally, he starts tapping.
Oh, he's tapping.
And when he finally quits tapping, I decide, nope. Not going to do it. And, you know, finally, I let him go. And everybody's like, yeah. And I'm like, God.
My back.
You know, how did we get to this? So anyway, that's the story that Ben loves to tell.
What happened? I mean, did he wake up?
Yeah, he was fine. I mean, we shook hands. You know, it's just when you put 100 guys around each other every single day, 2-3 times a day for multiple hours at a time, you're going to have conflicts. And there was some kind of issue every day, you know, offense versus defense versus offense, special teams. You know, somebody somewhere on that field is going to be involved in a fight.
Yeah.
If you're in the market for a new house, I want to tell you about our latest sponsor, Vantage Plus. So they're general contractors. They specialize in new home construction, but also they do some dirt moving work. So clearing land, making roads. Y'all check them out. We'll make sure that we link the website and the phone number in the show notes. Well, Skylar Ray, you talked about acting like a donkey. And Shane and Brian's got some donkey stories. Won't you lead a little bit with that?
Some donkeys?
Yeah. Well,
we
had donkeys. I don't know. We probably had six or seven at the farm for, you know, you got cows, you got donkeys. So we had some in the pasture, and they were getting a little bit overpopulated, I think is the correct term. They just kept growing.
I remember about 14 or 15 donkeys.
We started with three, and then we just forgot we had donkeys because we weren't taking them to sale. You know, you can't do anything with them. We weren't teaching them how to pull a cart.
You can't sell them.
So Brian calls me one day, and he says, hey, I need some donkeys. You know anybody that's got some? And I said, buddy, I just happen to know a man who's got plenty.
Donkey poor.
I'm donkey poor, buddy. So he said, well, how much you want for them? I said, man, you're such a good friend. If you'll come down here and help me load them, you can have all that you can get on the trailer. Well, if you know anything about, you know, just rural farms, most of the time you don't have facilities to handle the livestock that you're dealing with.
Especially
in Blount County, Alabama. We did not have the facilities to handle 14 donkeys. But if you know anything else about rural Alabama, we are not quitters, just as Skyler has told us earlier.
Nobody
likes a quitter. So we didn't let that deter us. We're going to catch these donkeys, no doubt. So we had this little pen that was between two pastures, and you could run the donkeys or the animal, livestock, cows or calves or whatever, run them up in there and then close it. And you could have the trailer on one end and then lock them off. Well, that in practice seems like a good thing to do.
Absolutely. You want to limit wild
animals
or domesticated animals. You want to limit their decision-making skills.
And although these donkeys are in a pen, in a pasture, they're feral.
They're feral. They hate people. They don't like to look at them. They don't want you close to them. They don't feed with the cows. They are their own wild animal group.
They're their own herd.
They are their own herd over there by themselves. And I guess the more populated they became, the more confident they got in their numbers. So there's 14 of them. There's two of us. They're like, hey, we got these.
Yeah. Well, there's one and a half. We got Brian.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that part.
That may actually turn around there on us. So we start chasing the donkeys. And Brian says, hey, this shouldn't be that hard. Let's get them headed up that way. So we get headed that direction, and they get almost in the pen, and then they hook a right, you know. So we start chasing them around this pen, and is it July or August?
It's 95 degrees.
It's at minimum 95 degrees. And I'm out of college for a while. So what happens after you get out of college, you get married, you ain't worried about being in shape anymore, right? I mean,
no.
It's just not one of those things you do.
You've run your race.
I've won my prize. I've run my race. You know, I don't have to be in shape. So, and chasing donkeys was really not something that I do on a regular basis. So we chase these donkeys round and around the pen, round and around the pen. And I'm sweating and getting dehydrated and getting hotter and hotter. And finally, we get them into the pen, into the area where we're going to put them in the trailer.
How many did we get into the pen? I came for two donkeys.
I think six, four, seven. I don't know. We got
more
a pile
than
of
two.
Them. More than two. But you know, that's what friends are for. If you want two donkeys, you're going to get six donkeys, right?
Yeah.
I mean, whatever I can give you, I'm just going to let you have them.
Doesn't take any more time to feed seven than to feed
two. Then it does
two.
Absolutely. No. That's what I thought. So we get them in there, and now the task is to get them from the smaller pen into the trailer. Well, two things about a donkey that you have to know that are different than cattle. One, they are much more hard-headed and stubborn than a cow ever thought about being. Two, they can kick backwards, whereas a cow cannot.
A cow kind of kicks sideways.
Sideways. Yeah. So you can't get behind a donkey and push them.
You can't push a donkey nor pull a donkey.
You can. It's just not recommended.
You can winch one.
Let me say this. Those donkeys gave us more problems than I ever anticipated. So we get them up there and so what we do, we come up with this plan to make the pen smaller
and smaller
and smaller and smaller. So we just keep taking sections out of the pen and make it smaller and smaller and smaller. So we finally get it to where it's three panels and the trailer, and they're all just kind of running in circles in this small little pen, just like a sea of donkeys, just around and around and around. And I told Brian, I said, I don't know how we're going to do this, but we've got to get somebody on the trailer before we get any more of them. So we had two, is it a little one and two females and a Jack?
That's right. Yeah, four.
Four total. A little one, two Jennies, and a Jack. So I told Brian, I said, I think if we get the little one on there, then the females will go. And then hopefully the Jack will go on there too. So he gets on there, and I think he do you just manhandle the little one?
Yeah, it was half the size of the other ones.
So he manhandled. He just picks it up, drags it up onto the trailer. Hey, now we got one on there. The rest of you go on. So we fight the other two substantially longer than we need to, and we finally get them on there. Well, the last one's the Jack, and he is the biggest one and the most stubborn, right? So Brian says, hey, I got an idea. I've got a rope up here. Let's just put a rope around him and just drag him on to the trailer.
We're having to inch this donkey inch by inch. And so, you know, we've got this winch contraption that we've devised so that we don't lose ground. That's not what we want to do. We want to get him closer and closer.
Don't want him to go backwards. Well, he wants to go backwards. So he does it. I don't know if you've ever seen this move, but this is called the donkey move. And they do this. They put their front legs out like
all
this.
Four of them.
And then they just sit down on their back. Okay. So he's sitting there like this, and he's just trembling. Like not moving, just trembling.
Man. I've got an ex-girlfriend that does that same thing. She puts her foot down and she wouldn't go anywhere.
Go anywhere.
Get her gone.
Yeah, to get her gone. Well, that's what we're trying to do with this donkey. And Brian's pushing, and I'm supposed to be pulling. Well, we have inched him to the trailer. And the trailer is about that far off of the ground. And he has wedged those front hooves underneath the trailer. Well, if you know anything about donkeys, their legs don't bend like this. They bend this way. So the more we push or pull, the more his locks against his legs. He's not going anywhere.
And this is a male donkey.
This is the man, the Jack of all Jacks. We're working. And you know, you're in the heat of things. You're not thinking about how hot you're getting. So I've got this donkey's tail, and I'm just trying to pick his back end off.
You're behind the donkey.
Off of the ground. That's
the
all
the back end is off the ground.
No,
the only thing that's on the ground are the two front feet.
I've never heard this story, but I think I know where it's going.
Shane is a sweater. Especially when it's 95 degrees. Mm-hmm. It looks like he had jumped in Terrapin Creek, and he's still in it. And there's just water pouring down his face.
Well, me and Shane, you know, we don't buy our clothes at Baby Gap. So, I mean, we got full grown. You know, we ate all of our vegetables. So he doesn't know what it's like to be husky.
Hey, husky, that's right.
And I've been in the same partnership. Yeah. We've been in the same partnership that you were.
Yeah.
You're not getting a whole lot of help. Good ideas, maybe some leadership advice.
Yeah.
Not a lot of manual labor coming from Brian's side.
He's holding the rope. He's holding the rope, okay? I got the tail. So I've got the meat and the potatoes of this whole situation.
Brian's holding the bag.
I got the fork.
Brian, so I'm as I'm pulling, I'm beginning to my eyes are starting to narrow. And I'm just seeing black go around and round and round and round and getting tighter and tighter and tighter. And I thought, okay, it finally hit me. I'm going to pass out. That's what I'm going to do. So I just dropped the donkey and I sat down beside it. So, Brian looks at me. He said, Shane, get the donkey. Let's go. We got to get this thing on the trailer. It's going to go down. I said, Brian, I'm going to tell you one thing. If I don't sit down and rest for a minute, you're going to have two of these donkeys on the ground. And what you going to do when both of us get on the ground? You better just leave me alone just for a second, okay? Yeah. And he looked at me and said, what's wrong with you? I said, I'm just about to pass out. He said, it ain't that hot. And I just had to stare at him just for a minute. Just for a minute. Needless to say.
Yeah, if he had a 50-pound sack of feed on his back wearing coveralls.
Yeah, then maybe we might understand. So I may have said some things that I should not have said that day, and I apologize for it afterwards. But we did finally break the donkey's spirit, and he loaded up and went to Brian's house.
So I went for two. I came back with four or five.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yep. And that's where, if you see Brian's shirt, this is where it was inspired from.
What does it say, Shane? It
says, "Sorry for what I said when we were loading donkeys."
That's a good shirt.
And I made that for him and gave it to him as a Christmas present, because I did say some things that day that I was not proud of. So
I get to the farm.
Get them to the farm.
My farm in Cherokee County with four or five donkeys. Had no room. I just needed one, really. But I wanted two so that we could, have some babies. So I get there, and it's not a few months go by, and I've got to get rid of some donkeys. I'm becoming donkey poor.
Donkey poor. Don't take long. They just procreate.
It's summertime. The days are heating up and the grass is growing. You don't want to spend all that time out there in your yard cutting grass, so won't you go on down to West Blunt Lawn and Tractor and see Amy and let her put you on a brand new commercial Husqvarna or Exmark lawnmower. Beyond commercial lawnmowers, she has implements such as weed eaters, chainsaws, leaf blowers, and more. Parts, service, right here in Hayden, Alabama. Located right on 160. Stop in there and see Amy today. And learn how she can help you to get to enjoying more of your summer right now.
That's what they do.
And so I know it's going to be really hard. You can't hardly give away a donkey, much less sell one. But I kind of like to make a dollar or two for my troubles. I post these donkeys onto Craigslist. If anybody remembers.
Yeah, that was back in the day with
Craigslist. That was before Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook. Mm-hmm.
It was before Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I list them on there for $50 a piece, hoping that somebody's going to want to haggle. Because if they say $10, I'm going to jerk his arm off. And
so
I get some action. I put two on there. The guy wants to, call me on my cell phone, texting me, said, "I want your donkeys." You got it. I think I haggled. So $50 a piece. I think I sold them for $80. Heck of a deal.
So considering what you paid for them,
we have a date. This guy's gonna come get the donkeys. He's from Georgia, so I'm thinking, I've got cattle. I have cattle trailers, horse trailers, a pretty nice truck, and we have the equipment to handle. And so this guy,
and now you've got some experience.
I have a little bit of experience. Know how to load. So again, these donkeys were feral. I knew that if this guy were to have to help me catch the donkeys, like me and Shane caught them, I was never going to see the $80.
No.
And
these donkeys, when he says feral, like when they look at you, they would point their ears like this, they're like antennas, and they would just watch you.
Have you seen Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
You see when they span over the horizon and you see all those dinosaurs running in packs, that's what these donkeys do when they see you. They take off. So I knew that I needed to have these donkeys caught before he got there. So I did the night before, putting them through the cattle chute. And I have electric cattle prod and they like to go when you push that
button. That helps them.
I'll put some go in there yonder right there.
So I had them loaded in my cattle trailer the day before. Had water, had feed, and so I'm ready. So all this guy has to do is back his cattle trailer up to mine, and very easily I can just put them right on there. Well, the day is the day. He's coming in about an hour. Get to the farm, get everything ready, get my truck out there. So all he has to do is back up to it. I see down the road, my farm's the only farm on this road, so I know it's him, and he's in this really, really nice, like, Ford Platinum truck, fancy, and I see the world's smallest U-Haul trailer. I didn't even know they made them this small. It was 4 foot from top to bottom. you can't. You have to bend over to your waist to get in it.
To get in.
And you know, 6 foot wide. So, you know, I'm thinking, what are we going to do? I hope this is not the guy. So he pulls on in the farm, calls me, pulls in the farm. I have to help him back the truck up. He didn't know how to back a trailer. This guy had on, it looked like it was a couple $1,000 watch, real fancy watch. Mm-hmm. Those shoes that you don't wear socks, you know, in. So he's got his bare feet in the shoes.
He has his loafers.
His loafers. Yeah.
Family, he had his wife and his child, really well dressed. And I'm thinking this guy does not know.
And they come to get him some pet donkeys.
This guy does not know what he's doing.
We had dogs at my house when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Not, we didn't have donkeys.
Not livestock. So I get a plan together. I back his truck up.
What time of year is this?
This is 2 months or a month or two after July.
He didn't keep them long. See.
There's not much difference in temperature between July and September. No.
Well, let's give the guy a benefit of the doubt. It could have been for a nativity scene.
Yeah, maybe a nativity.
Well, he better have some strong ropes and stakes to hold these down. So I say, I opened up his U-Haul trailer, and he has purchased feed sacks that had never been used, so they were just flat. So these like cardboard boxes looking thing. And he had them laid out over the bottom of the U-Haul trailer. This U-Haul trailer is brand new.
Buying or selling a home should be an exciting and enjoyable time. One thing can position you for the best outcome, and that is experience. The team at White Real Estate has many years of experience in helping their clients maximize their sales and secure the properties and homes of their dreams. Give Darren and Rhiannon White, Caden White, or Ryan Love a call today and begin your journey on a pleasurable buying or selling experience.
And I get a sack of feed and put it in the U-Haul trailer, and I come to try to I couldn't bring up the cattle prod because they're going to think these fancy. Cruel.
Yeah, that, the cattle prod is not for every audience.
No.
It's not for every genre.
Yeah.
So I am trying to pick these donkeys up and put them in this U-Haul trailer that they didn't want to go in. It looked like a little bitty box. And I find myself in the scenario Shane was in, you know. And I've got their back ends off of the ground. Their two front legs are locked in, and I'm trying to shut the gates to this trailer, get them closer and closer. Well, the family, if you know anything about livestock, you can't get in front of where they want to go. You have to be behind them. Mm. So I'm trying to get these donkeys to go in the trailer, and this wife and the kid and the man is coming around to the front of me and asking me questions. I'm politely saying, can y'all, you know, come around to the backside of the trailer, because these donkeys are kicking me in the shins. Every time I try to get them forward, they're kicking me in the shins, and I've got tears coming down my eyes because I'm crying, because I can't make a commotion, because I don't want them to think that these donkeys are feral.
Yeah, feral donkeys. Hardest $80 Brian has ever made in his life.
And I'm, please, can y'all go back here? Because I didn't want to come in there with me, because they'd kick them in the shins. And
I don't want them.
Yeah, I'm trying to make the sale. I would give them to him for free, you know, if I had to. But I get one of them in the trailer, and I finally get the other one in the trailer. And these donkeys, so I shut the door to the trailer. Right when I get them in, I shut the door. He says, do you think they'll be okay? I have no idea what part of Georgia this guy's from. I'm in northeast Alabama. The end of Georgia is probably, you know, southeast corner, 8 hours away.
Don't even know where he's coming from.
I don't know where he's coming from, nor do I care. He says, do you think they'll be okay? They'll be fine. You know, yes. They'll be fine. All right, so
better or not?
What is the U-Haul made out of? Aluminum or some kind of very thin material? You know what a U-Haul made out of. And I'm looking down the side of this trailer, and these donkeys are kicking the mess out of this trailer. Listen, you can see every time they kick it, you can see a dent form. They're kicking, and it's a brand new U-Haul trailer. And I know they have donkey doo-doo all over the inside of this trailer.
Donkey prints.
Look, so a week after this happened, and I didn't know it happened at the time, but me and Brian, I think we was down at the Terrapin Creek either fishing or swimming one. So we go down there and he's put his swim trunks on. And from his knee to his ankle, looks like you had beat him with a baseball bat. Yeah. And I said, Brian, what has happened to your shins? Yeah. You look terrible. And he goes to tell me the story about loading the donkeys into the U-Haul.
Yeah, they're kicking.
You can't leave me right there in on the barnyard without them in the truck. What happened after? So you shut the gate and then what?
I shut the gate. The donkeys are beating the trailer today. I didn't know that they'd make it home. I knew that a hole was going to appear in the trailer before there where they left and they got home. So I talked to them and they were nice. And I'm thinking, yeah, they're great donkeys. What are y'all going to do? Why do y'all want donkeys? Oh, we bought a farm in North Georgia. Told me, this guy had sold produce for a living and made a lot of money doing it. And they bought a farm. By the way, this farm, I think, were 10 acres. They had a little fenced in area. And they said, we just wanted some donkeys. We just wanted something to look at. He said, do you think they're friendly? I said, I think they're just not used to you. They're not used to you. You need to feed them a lot.
Yeah,
so go buy
you feed them?
Some sweet feed and make sure you put that out every day. It's going to take a while and they'll get used
to it. So you gathered the $80 and they headed to North Georgia?
Gathered the $80. They headed to North Georgia. What I didn't know is, and I don't know that you know this, they sent me a picture of the donkeys about 2 or 3 months after that. One of them had had a baby donkey.
Really?
Yep. Yep. So they were pleased with their purchase. They had a surprise baby donkey.
I've got a little nugget for the Skyler's going to love this one. So Brian bought the donkeys under the understanding that he was getting two jennies, a jack, and a little donkey. Okay. He said, I really don't want a jack. And I said, well, if I'm giving you these donkeys, you're taking a jack because I've got too many. He said, that's fine. I'll get rid of the jack. I said, that's a deal. So he didn't want a jack. So the little donkey was a jenny as well. Mm-hmm. And so he calls me one day. He said, Shane, I am as mad at you as I've ever been. And I said, what did I do to you? He said, for a week now, I have been concerned about my little Jenny donkey that I bought from you. I said, well, why? He said, it had a growth and I was concerned, it had cancer on it. And he said, I couldn't believe you had sold me a donkey that was, I said, Brian, I didn't know the donkey was sick. He said, well, no, that's not why I'm mad at you. He said, I finally got it caught up in the pen and I checked its growth.
It was a tumor.
It's tumor. He said, it had a tumor. He said, and I checked it. That's not a Jenny, Shane.
That's a jack. Had a big black tumor.
Big growth. A big tumor under his belly. And
Hey, you got to learn somehow.
Yeah, so he went to investigate, did his veterinarian, and found out that Jenny was not a Jenny, it was a jack. I laughed. I said, well, buddy.
Let's do this. We haven't even scratched the surface on the stories. I know you've got one that you can't wait to tell us. It's one of the humdingers of your life. You've got a pig story that you're going to tell us. So I think we need to make this two parts. Y'all in for a part two?
I think so.
All right. Well, let's just call it a see ya soon at the Hayden, Alabama podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Brian.
I'm the square grouper guy.
And I'm Evan.
All right. We'll see you next week.